Hello, and welcome to The Advantage Investor, a Raymond James Limited podcast, a podcast that provides perspective for Canadian investors who want to remain knowledgeable, informed, and focused on long-term success. We are recording this on December 1st, 2021. I'm Chris Cooksey from the Raymond James Corporate Communications and Marketing Department, and today I'm excited to welcome Chris Meekins, Managing Director, Equity Research at our parent firm, Raymond James Financial. Chris makes regular appearances on the cable financial channels in the US, and before coronavirus was declared so, he was one of the first people I remember saying that the virus would become a global issue and would be declared a global pandemic. Welcome to The Advantage Investor, Chris. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you taking your time and glad to hear that you're doing well. We'll jump right into it. Maybe we can just start with a quick overview on where we stand globally in terms of spread and all the other, you know, details we need to know to start this conversation.
Yeah, obviously the U.S. is in the midst of a Delta wave, both in Europe and other parts of the world. From one of the previous variants, it really was the worst variant we had seen so far. This comes on the heels of the, you know, the Alpha, Beta, and the other variants we've seen, as well as the ancestral strain that originated in China prior to that. So what we've seen is as temperatures get colder, it tends to be more seasonal. People move indoors rather than outside getting together. And as a result of that, tend to infect other people. So we've seen a global vaccination effort. More than half of all the people in the world have at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. But there are parts of the world that are struggling with regard to that. The African continent, for example, having less than 15% of individuals vaccinated. And as a result, what we're seeing is new strains continuing to come. And throughout this pandemic from the early days, we said, it's not going to be one and done. There will be new variants. We have to pay attention to new variants. And as each one comes up, we need to look at what potential steps we need to take to respond to it, which is where we are today.
Perfect. Now, besides all of us learning our Greek alphabet letters as we go through these variants, you just briefly mentioned it there, but variants, they're not a surprise when it comes to viruses in general.
Yeah, I mean, almost every virus like this, every coronavirus mutates over time, so you get different mutations throughout the different virus as we've seen. And there's actually a belief that the viruses that now cause the common cold potentially were as problematic as this COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 outbreak we're seeing now, but that eventually they mutated to the point that they became less severe and resulted in fewer deaths, fewer hospitalizations, and became more of a nuisance than a global health focus.
Okay. Makes sense. Plus, I assume the virus wants to survive as an entity too, right? So if it's killing everyone or is that severe, it makes it very difficult for the virus to be able to jump to the next host.
Usually viruses do want to survive over time. So there's a few exceptions, but generally speaking, when they mutate, especially coronaviruses, that's what we see.
Now, what do we know about Omicron, or maybe even what don't we know about it?
Yeah, so the reality is, and one of the things we put out, and I know folks in Canada have highlighted, is the fact that it's really early on. So a lot of the preliminary takes are going to be completely, completely wrong.
Right.
They've referred to this as the South Africa variant, when the reality is, you know, there were early cases in Botswana, but it probably came into Botswana from somewhere else. And it's just that South Africa did a great job with genetic sequencing. And as a result of that, we're able to identify it and notify the world of what was going on. So that's a huge progress in that we're able to see this so early, but it also means there's a lot we don't know. For example, we don't know whether it's more transmissible than some of the previous variants. If it is more transmissible, we don't know whether it's more lethal. Is it going to result in more hospitalizations and deaths than other variants? It doesn't. We don't know the answer to that for those that are unvaccinated and immunocompromised. What we also don't know definitively is how well our vaccines, how well our treatments are going to respond to it. But some of the early data is encouraging, in my view. So I think we are going to have some treatments that respond to this. We are going to have some vaccines that are still largely effective about it in response to it. And then I also believe that because we have testing, individuals are going to be able to know if they have COVID and take appropriate actions going forward, which was not where we were in the beginning. This is why we're not back to square one of, February of 2020. We have a lot more tools in our toolbox, a lot more education of the public that is going to make a difference as we combat this new variant, regardless of how transmissible it is, regardless of how lethal it is, and regardless of whether it evades any of the treatments or vaccines and to what degree it may do so.
So it's safe to say that, because of the unknown, there is some concern. But at this stage, it doesn't look like we're heading back to, like you said, February, March 2020, where the world stopped and everyone is scared and we're all stuck in our houses doing what we have to do.
Yeah, I don't think we're back to square one. And I think it's very unlikely, at least in the U.S., we're going to see lockdowns. I think some areas globally may do that. But I think overall, what we're going to see is people be able to largely continue their lives the way they have been. Will they take a few extra precautions? Sure. Are they less likely to go out to a business dinner, 10 days before they, Christmas? Of course they are, because they won't want to run the risk of not being able to, of testing positive and not being able to be with family or traveling somewhere going forward. So obviously there are steps people are going to take, but I don't think it's going to be as problematic as some people think. On that point, I'll just add that, when I look at this right now, based on everything I know, I think there's about a 1 in 3 chance this is largely nothing to worry about at all, that it becomes way overblown, not an issue, no one pays attention. I think there's also, on the flip side, a 1 in 3 chance, based on the mutations, that it is the worst variant yet, and you have to see aggressive actions taken to respond to it. But in the middle is this, it's going to be a problem, it's going to be a variant, but it's not as bad as it could have been portrayed last Thursday and Friday. Yeah. And as a result of that, the economic recovery will continue.
And also, you mentioned time of year, of course, as us here in Canada start going into winter, and obviously the Northern United States go into winter, we all start staying inside, as you mentioned. And I imagine the same thing in the U.S. is happening in the U.S., happen in Canada, because our Thanksgivings are slightly different. So as people start getting together, obviously you get into homes and people are a little less cautious around maybe family and friends than they are in the general public. So, it's logical that we see a spike regardless of variant right now.
Yeah, I think regardless of the new variant, which is not what we're seeing right now, you're going to potentially see a spike around holidays, and you're going to potentially see a spike, in Florida and Texas when it gets really hot. No one wants to be outside in the summer, so they go inside. Which is why we saw the huge Delta upticks in the American South East during the summer, and why now we're seeing that in the Midwest and other areas. So I think it would make sense that this is something we're going to see each winter. We're going to move toward what we call endemic rather than pandemic in future years, where we're going to see an uptick in cases similar to the way we see an uptick in flu in winters.
Yes. Now, is there anything else you'd like to mention to our listeners before I let you get on with your day?
I think at this point, it's just important to remember to be really cautious. So we've seen people somewhat overreact in the initial days with the initial headlines. There are going to continue to be headlines. There may be headlines saying vaccine efficacy is only 50 or 60 or 70% on this new strain. And I would just say, be really cautious about how you approach those headlines, because I think this psychological or the mentality of at least Americans, and I think a lot of people globally, is they're kind of over this. They're kind of ready to be past this phase that we're in. And I think that unless there's something really, really problematic, like, hey, it's 10 times as transmissible and 10 times as lethal and nothing we have now works, which
and the hospitals get overcrowded,
are minuscule, right, this current variant. Barring that, I think you're going to see a real resiliency among the population to try to continue with their lives going forward. And as a result, the economic recovery can continue.
Chris, I want to really thank you for taking the time today. I know you're a very busy person, so I really appreciate it. And I know our listeners will have a very nice reaction to what your comments were today. So thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
The Advantage Investor is now on Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. So please subscribe and rate the podcast. Please contact your advisor with any questions you have. On behalf of Raymond James and The Advantage Investor, thank you for taking the time to listen today. Until next time, stay well. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Statistics and factual data and other information are from sources Raymond James Limited believes to be reliable, but their accuracy cannot be guaranteed. Information is furnished on the basis and understanding that Raymond James Limited is to be under no liability whatsoever in respect thereof. It is provided as a general source of information and should not be construed as an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any product and should not be considered tax advice. Raymond James advisors are not tax advisors, and we recommend that clients seek independent advice from a professional advisor on tax-related matters. Securities-related products and services are offered through Raymond James Limited, member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Insurance products and services are offered through Raymond James Financial Planning Limited, which is not a member of Canadian Investor Protection Fund.